Well, well done for turning up. I'm pretty impressed that so many of you would turn up when you saw the subject matter on the sheet was fasting. I'm thinking that's pretty impressive. Because, I don't know about you, but I've always thought fasting seems a bit weird, really. It does seem a bit strange. It's for the super holy, isn't it? It's almost like Jesus pointed out in the gospel today, you know. Somehow the super holy do the fasting. Or perhaps you might think it's a bit cult-like. Maybe it's the sort of thing that a cult might do. It's to our 21st century heads, the idea of fasting seems a bit strange. But I think we'll find out as we go along that actually it's not. It's a practice of Jesus. But before I delve too much into it, once again, I come before you in confession. I always have to come before you in confession before my talks, don't I? Because often when I'm pointing one finger out, there's four pointing back. And that's what they say, isn't it? And actually, I've struggled with fasting over the years. I've only dabbled. I am and want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be an apprentice, a disciple to Jesus. And I believe that disciples of Jesus do fast and pray. And yet, I've only dabbled with it in my 20 years of being a Christian. But no longer. Because actually, in preparation for this, the reading and the praying I did, I felt a real call to the fact that this needs to be a spiritual discipline that is embedded in my life. Maybe as we go through, you might discover the same. Let me explain why by asking a fairly rhetorical question. What is fasting? It's not a trick question. It's pretty straightforward. Fasting is simply not eating. Well, it's a bit more than that. Hopefully it's not eating or abstaining from food or for water, more often for food, as is medically appropriate for us as individuals, abstaining from it for a short period of time in order to connect with God in a more direct way. The problem we see we have as 21st century people is that we separated the physical from the spiritual, and we can't get our heads around the idea that the physical can impact the spiritual. All too often that is the way, but it's not the way of Jesus, and it's not the way of the early Christians. In fact, you'll remember there is a moment in Jesus' life where he prays so fervently in the spiritual that he physically bleeds from his head. That's the spiritual and the physical intertwining with one another right there. And my daughter tells me that we've invented a new word as well, a word called hangry. Anyone else come across the word hangry? The idea is that you're so hungry you become angry. So we accept that we accept actually that the physical can impact our emotions. We accept that, and yet we're surprised to the idea that a physical thing could be impacting the spirituality. Anyway, we'll move on and discover more. You see, fasting is simply about abstaining from food with connection to God. Because if we know what it is, and the next question is, why would you fast, isn't it? Why would you fast? I mean, there's nowhere in the Bible, let me be clear about this, nowhere does it say, thou shalt fast. It's not the 11th commandment. It doesn't say, and Jesus died on the cross that you might have eternal life if you fast. It doesn't say that. We are forgiven, we have eternal life, starting right now because of what Jesus did. But the God who hung on the cross for us, Jesus, seems to expect that we would fast. Even in that gospel reading, although the Pharisee got the reason behind fasting incorrect, he assumes that people who are holy fast. Elsewhere as well, we read Jesus say in Matthew's gospel, for example, when you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, he says, they've received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it's not obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Did you catch that? When you fast. Jesus just assumes if you're a disciple an apprentice to him, you will at some point fast. And then, of course, Jesus fasted, didn't he? We'll talk about this in a few weeks' time, actually. But full of the Holy Spirit, he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of that, he was hungry. No kidding, he was hungry. 40 days in the wilderness, no food. Of course he was hungry. But was he weak? He then went on, spiritually, to defeat the devil. He was spiritually strong. He may have been physically a bit weak, perhaps. Hungry, maybe. I'm sure he was. But actually, spiritually, he was at his top game. Because he'd been fasting. But of course, Jesus is God, so you'd expect God to fast, wouldn't you? And the people in the Bible, well, they're, you know, they're pre-enlightenment. We're modern 21st century people who are enlightened now. Is there any reason why we should fast? Well, the truth is, actually, the church has always fasted. It's only in more recent years it's become one of these things we push to the side a bit weird, for the super holy, for the rector maybe, but, you know. But actually, the church has always fasted. There's this, if you read the Didache, if you can think of the Didache, it's not scripture, but it's an instruction booklet on how to be a Christian. Maybe imagine Justin Welby, the Archbishop, writing us a letter. It's not scripture, but we'd take notice of it, wouldn't we? And the Didache says this: "Let not your fast be with the hypocrites," that's those Pharisees again, poor guys, "for they fast on Mondays and Thursdays, but do your fast on Wednesdays and Fridays." He's saying, actually, we come from the Jewish line, but just to show we're not quite like that, we're going to change our day we fast. But we will fast 2 days a week. That's what it says in the Didache, that second century pamphlet. But if that's too old for you in church history, what about our friend Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther, that's the wrong one. John Wesley. How about that one? That's the one that I was thinking about. John Wesley. We sing his hymns. I just had a quick whiz through earlier on. We're not singing any of his hymns today, but we do sing his hymns occasionally, don't we? And of course, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodists, but actually never wanted to separate the church. He was an Anglican priest. For many years, the Methodists took communion in Anglican churches once a year. But here's what he says about fasting. One of the greatest leaders of church history. He is a bit direct at times. He says, "I fear now there are thousands of Methodists, so-called, who follow in the same bad example, have entirely left off fasting, who are so far from fasting twice a week, they do not fast twice in the month." My confession, as I've already said, is I've not in the past fasted that much. But Wesley and other church leaders saw fasting as just being part of what you would do as a follower of Jesus. So there it is. There's good reason to fast, as medically appropriate for your life. But how? How do we fast then? Well, as I said, the practical is very easy, isn't it? We might decide not to eat a meal. We might decide not to eat during the hours of daylight one day, or we might decide not to eat for 24 hours. But lest we be like the hypocrites, this is not about losing weight. This is not about being too busy, is it? It's not about looking good in front of the church. No, we do that so that we actually can connect to God in prayer and fasting. The two go hand in hand. And I had a quick whiz through the Bible and come up with five areas where I can see prayer and fasting in different areas. And I just want to whiz through them quickly. They're not the only ways of praying and fasting, but there are some. And then I want to land on the fifth one and just talk a little bit more about that. The first one might surprise you. We might want to fast to change God's mind. Now, when I first read that, I thought, oh, that rubs up a bit. I'm not sure we want to change God's mind, do we? Surely God knows best. But it's right there, isn't it, in Jonah. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction. So perhaps it's more about changing what we are doing such that God's grace can flow in our prayer and fasting. So we might want to change God's mind. I suspect it's more about changing our actions, actually, but you see what I'm saying there. And then the next one equally surprised me. Grieving. We might want to fast when we're grieving, whether that's a loss of a dear one or something in our lives. And we read in Nehemiah, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Interestingly, often, I don't know about, I remember in my mourning, I wasn't particularly hungry. I didn't particularly want to eat, actually. Interestingly, how our bodies are aligned with our spiritual life, whether we want it or not at times, isn't it? And then a third one, we want to pray and fast when we are calling out to God. God, this is such a mess, you've got to intervene, that sort of prayer. We see this time in Judges when Israel are in battle and they've been slain. It says, they cut down another 18,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. And then all the Israelites, the whole army went up to Bethel. And they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings. Lord, would you come and help us? I know for a fact right now there are a number of organisations around the country praying and fasting about the mess our country is in. Whatever side of the fence you fall on, you've got to agree we need more unity in this country, don't we? Is it time to pray and fast and call out for God to intervene? And this fourth one, I'd love to spend a bit more time on this fourth one, but I'm not going to today. But what about fasting and repenting? The Bible talks about it. When we turn away from our sin and our mistakes, fasting doesn't get us forgiven any quicker. We are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. But there's a physical response to the repentance and the forgiveness. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted and they confessed. These are just drawn out of the book that we follow. All over the place. You see, our Catholic friends, our Roman Catholic friends, that is, they have a much more physical interaction with their repentance. We tend to, as Anglicans, say the words, don't we? And that doesn't mean they're not true. But there is something else about the physical, and fasting in repentance won't get us forgiven any faster, but might help us draw away from the sin that we were turning towards. There's something about the physical and the spiritual. So we have repentance, changing God's mind, grieving and calling out to God. And then this fifth one that I want to focus in on for us. Knowing the will of God. Right now, as a church, as a community, we are continuing this walk, as I've already said today, to seek God's vision, identity and purpose, the VIP, for this place. And we are crying out to God in all sorts of ways, aren't we, to know his will for Bedhampton. And yet we heard, read so well for us from Acts, when they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." When they were praying for leaders, they fasted and prayed. It's not just the weirdos that do this. It is those that seek Jesus. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord. As they sought to go forward, they were praying and fasting to seek God's will. Which brings me into conclusion with this, really. How do we actually apply this knowledge? Because as you can see from what I've said, that followers of Jesus do fast as medically appropriate for us. But actually, how do we see that moving forward in our life as a church? And I've said, you know, a number of times now, as medically appropriate, because it may not be appropriate for everyone to fast. I know some of us can't for medical reasons, but actually, I think for most of us, it's not a problem. And we might choose to say, as I've already said, fast from one meal or fast during daylight or even for 24 hours. But as Anglicans, let's grab hold of this and move forward. Because actually we're moving soon into a season of Lent. And let me talk to you about what Lent means to us as a church. You see, in the past, we've had a rich history of abstaining from things in Lent, giving up things, which is all good. And especially if you take that time to pray and seek God. And if you can't fast for one reason or another, it's a great place to start. But actually, fasting brings on a new level. Lent was originally a season of fasting. You wouldn't eat during the day's daylight. And so, and then in the evenings, you would have a simple meal, probably without meat. In fact, many people think that Ramadan, the Muslim festival of fasting, came from Lent. See, we think of the Muslims fasting in their Ramadan, but actually it came probably from Lent. We have a history of that. And so with that in mind and understanding where we are as a church, I want to call us all in the period of Lent to consider fasting, if it's appropriate for you. You might choose, like I said, to do that just for one meal a week. You might choose to do that during the day, like once a week. Or even, as some of us might choose to do, for 24 hours during Lent, one a week. And let's not be like the hypocrites. Let's not make it a big thing about this. Because actually, it's not about the not eating. It's about using the hunger pains, the nudges from the Holy Spirit to pray and seek God's will. And let's be brave about this as we fast from whatever it is you're doing. If you feel a nudge or you think something keeps coming back to your mind, share it with me. Share it with us as leaders. Don't worry about what it is. If it's not appropriate, we can discern that as a group. But let's not lose what God is saying. Actually, let's take the spiritual discipline of fasting, which Jesus has shown us is a way that we can interact with him, and use it to seek God's vision for this place over Lent. Come and join me.